Welcome to a slightly abbreviated After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. It's all of a sudden, it's really like winter outside, but I have one bit of news to tell you. For the first time in my life, in my very full life, I saw The Wizard of Oz for the first time last night. Make of that what you will. I'm very pleased to have on the phone someone I have known for many, many, many years, but not known well. Russell Lubliner, how are you?
I'm good, Rick. How are you?
Good. What are you doing in Colorado now? What are you doing out there? You move, right?
Yeah, it's family. We wanted to be near our daughter, Lindsay, and that's why a lot of people move out here.
Yeah, a lot of people are moving out of Chicago. You have had, Russell, a fascinating, colorful, and eclectic life. You've told me, and I know this, that your great-grandfather came through Ellis Island, that your grandfather sold flowers in the alley behind Marshall Fields. Then he started, in the 20s or even the teens, a chain of movie theaters, which were wiped out in the Depression. Then your dad...
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. What was your grandfather like? Did you know him well?
No. Okay. Both my grandfathers passed in their early 60s, mm-hmm. and I feel very lucky that I'm around for my grandchildren.
That's great. Cool. Well, times do change, and medicine does get better. Your dad, your biography brings back so many memories for me. I did not know your dad, but I knew a bit his partner, Bruce Trends, who ran a place called the Clark Theater on Clark that was basically, tell me I'm wrong, Russell Lubliner, it was basically open 24 hours a day, was it not?
They closed for about an hour and a half. The last feature was at 4 o'clock. I would run till about 6, and then the first feature for the next day would be at 8 o'clock in the morning.
It was an amazing place, and they expanded a bit. They built the Edens Theater in Northbrook. You worked there for – did you work at the Clark, or did you work at the Edens for a while?
Both. I saw Days of Wine and Roses as an usher at the Clark 137 times.
Oh my God! I'm assuming you don't drink. That would stop me from drinking.
And I worked as an all night cashier at the Clark, which was
an interesting
right at the beginning of Skid Row.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And did you at that time, where'd you go to college?
University of Wisconsin and then University of Virginia.
With the notion as a young man of doing what, Russell?
I had no idea.
Like a lot of, yeah, same here. I had no idea. But you got out, were you still in school? No, you got out of school and then you, now here's another colorful aspect. You were a driver. For Haskell Wexler, the great director and writer, and story consultant Studs Terkel, when they were here making Medium Cool. What was that like?
Getting tear gassed in Grant Park. It was an amazing experience all the way from going to filming at Operation Breadbasket,
mm-hmm.
and then way up in Uptown, and every place in between.
Did they, those two guys were both very, to my mind, very charismatic characters. Did they instill in you any kind of show business ambitions?
No. Yeah. I always knew I wanted to be a writer of some sort. And at that point, I got a job at Albert J. Rosenthal Advertising Agency in the Wrigley Building for $7,000 a year.
Wow! Wow! Who are some of your clients?
Well, I went on to North Advertising, and we had Channel 2 News with Curtis and Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Papermate was headquartered in Chicago at the time. Swift. I had a bunch of great clients, and then I went on my own And I had Florsheim and Bellenhow and some wonderful Chicago names.
Did you enjoy it? Did that scratch your creative itch, so to speak?
It did, but it sort of pales in comparison with what I'm doing now.
Yes, we're not telling people quite yet what you're doing, because you're going to be on. You're going to be on till a quarter after. We're going to keep them. We're going to keep them in suspense. Also got into the restaurant business in a very, very serious way, didn't you?
As serious as I could get. Yes. I opened up an Eduardo's natural pizza restaurant, first in Carroll Stream, then one in Libertyville. I did the marketing for Bravo Restaurants, which owned Chino's East, Eduardo's, and Ed DeBevick. So, and I like being a host. I like people coming into my restaurants, and I got a kick out of that.
That's a very, as you know better than anybody, or better than most, that's a very difficult business, is it not?
It is, but I had a general manager, Steve French, who was fabulous, and it makes the business a lot easier if you have great people working for you.
Now, did the...
We had, at Gino's East in Rosemont, we had drivers that worked for us for 20 years.
Oh, wow. 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 You and I know each other through your cousin and my great friend, John Himmel, who went out to see your latest venture, which is a musical review. I'm not even going to tell you people the name of it yet to keep you further further in suspense. But while you were working in the restaurant business, what else? I know that's a very, very, very time-consuming job, Russell, but what else were you doing? I'm very curious about the seed of your current... It's not really your second act. It's more like the fifth act of your life. But I'm very curious about the seed. You met a lot of, stars, and you dealt with the public, and then you started, like every one of us, started to get older, and then you decided, what was the seed? The show is called, Russell Loveliner has written a show called Ain't Done Just Yet. It's a musical review for seniors. We will explore that in depth when we come back after a short commercial break. He's sitting in somewhere in... Where are you in Colorado? Where are you?
Actually, Denver.
Oh, in Denver. Oh, okay. I know that. I thought it was going to be some obscure little town. A lot of snow there?
No.
A lot of snow?
Not in Denver proper. Up in the mountains, they get killed with it.
All right. We'll be back. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Russell Loveliner to talk about his soon to be. It's been performed, and I think I trust my friend John Himmel is a very sophisticated consumer of culture and theater. I trust him. He thinks it's a great show. I could not see it when it was performed in Michigan, but I trust John, and we'll explore how it came to be, what it is, and what. I think it's a show with a message. That's just one man's opinion, opinion of a man who didn't see the show. We'll be back. If you missed the last few minutes of this program, I've been talking to Russell Loveliner about his previous life. His previous life includes a couple of very interesting relatives, a great-grandfather who came through Ellis Island, a grandfather who sold flowers in an alley behind Marshall Fields, a father who, with a partner, ran the Clark Theater and a couple other theaters, including the Edens Theater in Northbrook, who worked as a night cashier at the Clark Theater, who drove Studs Terkel and Haskell Wexler around while they were filming Medium Cool here, who worked in the advertising business for a long time, who ran a number of restaurants, Eduardo's in Carroll Stream, Gino's East in Rosemont. What happened, Russell, to end your restaurant career? The pandemic?
COVID.
Yeah,
absolutely. It just even though we were a pizza business, because of our location, I tried everything, but I could not keep the business going.
Well, you and thousands, tens of thousands of others. And at that point, what did you think to yourself? Okay, well, that's been my career, and it's been a very good career. Did you think to yourself, okay, what should I do now?
I was more in shock, I was about 70, I guess. I was 74, 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really thinking about it, a new career.
Sure.
it was just...
You'd be like Grandma Moses and start painting or something.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. What can I do?
Mm-hmm. And what did you do? You seemed to be struck by a muse of some sort. You created a musical review. You were a guy who very, very self-effacingly tells me that you can't sing, you can't dance, you can't do any of the things one normally associates with theater. Did you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, this is a pretty odd choice for me?
After the fact, but I have no idea how I got into it. I woke up one night,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote words about how I felt after losing my restaurant.
Oh, wow.
75 years old.
Okay.
And I wrote down some words, and they reflected how I felt. And I felt, I'm not done yet. Whatever's going to happen, I ain't done just yet.
Mm.
And so I took the words, and I thought, this might make a song. And I got on the internet, and I found a songwriter in London, Jack Hardman.
I have never looked for a songwriter on the internet, but there must be 8 gazillion songwriters on the internet. How did you find this particular one?
There are... My memory ain't great, but there are sites that you go to to get freelancers,
mm-hmm.
and some of them specialize in music. And I found Jack Hardman, who's tremendously talented, and hopefully we have time to play one of his. He ended up doing voiceover piano tracks.
If you have it, we can try to figure out how to play it. Can you?
I've got it, and
you'll put the phone next to the machine, and we'll listen to it. That's okay by me. Go ahead.
I think I could. I think technically I can do it, but he wrote the music for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many songs did you just? You obviously contacted him, Russell Loveliner, when you had a bit of one song, right?
Right.
And the idea for a musical that addressed the vitality of senior people, right? Sort of.
Yes, sort of. But I wanted to write songs about what I was experiencing as a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And... part of that was ageism,
sure,
which we've all experienced to some degree.
Absolutely.
Some more than others.
Absolutely.
And I ended up creating 4 characters to sing the song.
Mm.
Mimi, a recent widow, Chuck and Tilly, 49-year marriage, but starting to lose their memories.
Ugh.
And Oscar, a black Vietnam War vet, who ended up singing about the mistreatment of our war veterans.
So wow.
I wrote songs for each of them, and Jack put them to music.
Was the writing of the lyrics, did that come easily to you? Because if it did come easily to you, Russell Loveliner, it seems like a kind of the lightning strike. You know, you've never done it before. You seem to, I mean, obviously possessed by a kind of passion to do this. Was it easy to write four songs?
No, but I was compelled to do it. I have no idea why. And I just had to give the characters songs to establish who they were and as seniors.
Right.
And then I ended up writing seven more songs.
Wow. Wow. There is no place where people can hear these songs now, is there?
I mean, not yet, but...
You will have a website of some sort, yes?
I have a website, and it's got a two-minute trailer.
Oh, I see.
From a production we did here in Denver.
Mm-hmm. You did a production, Russell. Tell me I'm wrong, but the first production you did was about a year ago, someplace in Michigan that John Himmel and his lovely wife Kim went to see and raved about it.
It was actually where I lived at Lake Barrington.
Oh, Lake Barrington Shores. I don't know why I kept thinking Michigan. I don't know what's wrong.
No,
I don't know what's wrong.
And I found four amateur singers. And
how did you? Let me ask you. How did you find them?
I put up notices in libraries and supermarkets looking for senior singers.
Yeah.
And I found three of them right where I lived in Lake Barrington Shores. They were amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found a professional piano player, and I don't remember how I found him, Andrew Blenderman, tremendous talent,
Wow.
who became my music director. And we had a bunch of rehearsals, and then we put on the performance that John and Kim were at Lake Barrington Shores for friends and family.
Sure.
And
it sounds overwhelming. It sounds like it was overwhelmingly emotional for you, and I know it was for John and Kim, but it certainly had to be for you. To hear your words come alive on, I don't care what kind of stage setting it was, but to hear them come alive in front of a real audience is a remarkable thing.
Rick, you write an article, and it's published in the Trib, and you get a response from your colleagues and your
It's not really
readers.
Like it's not like seeing someone reading it on the bus or something. I mean that direct physical encounter is not something I'm used to anymore. I once was, but I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
It's unbelievable to see people cry and laugh at words and music that I've written. It is overwhelming.
So after doing that, you then, for reasons you explained at the beginning of this program, you moved to the Denver area, and you decided to put the show on again. Yes?
I couldn't leave it.
Yeah, of course. How could you?
It.
Sure. And you put it on this time with professional singers, correct?
Yes, and their commitment to the show is remarkable.
Mm.
Three of them live in the mountains, and they commute at least an hour each way week to rehearse.
Wow.
And we had a dress rehearsal here where I live at a over 55, whatever.
Yeah.
And
place.
and again, people were crying and laughing and stomping their feet.
Wow.
And I cried after the show. I mean,
oh, I don't doubt that.
Because I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah.
And because of their response.
Mm.
And I found a talent agent who specializes in bringing entertainment to senior centers.
There is our old friend, Krista and Brett, and my old friend Roger Badish, who used to be here, is still in a senior group. There are a lot of those groups around. When we come back after the news, Russell Lubliner. We will talk for a while about your ambitions for this show. I don't think they are misguided. I think they are founded on your experience, and I think there is a real possibility for the legs, as they say in the theater business, of this show. So we'll be back after the news and talk some more, Russell. Thanks. I have a few more minutes with my old friend Russell Lubliner, who now lives in Colorado, who has written from out of the blue. He's struck by a passionate bolt of lightning, a creative bolt of lightning that has allowed him and compelled him to write music for a show called Ain't Done Just Yet. It's now at 7 songs. It's been performed here at Barrington Shores. It's been performed in Colorado. It is signed up with a talent agency. And the long-term goal for this, Russell, is, and I'm sure your talent agency knows this, is for this show to be performed, perhaps starting in Colorado, but perhaps expanding in senior facilities around the country. Yes?
Even more than that, Rick, and after I talk about this with you, I'd like to try to play one song for you.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Okay, we don't either, but there's no way for people to get in touch with you, right? Can they go to this fixed talent agency to find you?
Yeah.
Yes?
They can, and I do have a website, a Facebook page, Ain't Done Just Yet.
Okay.
And I've got a website, which I have no idea how to
access.
Work.
Well, we'll connect you. The great Jack Heinrich is a genius at this, and he'll connect people to the Facebook page for Ain't Done Just Yet. All right, Russell Lubliner, we'd love to have this experiment. You can try to play a song, and we'll try to listen.
Okay. But I want to make sure. I'm looking to make this into a music video for seniors.
Good idea.
And I want to stream it all over America to veteran centers, wherever seniors congregate. I can't financially do it, and I'd like to try to get funding somehow.
Sure. There's a producer out there somewhere, Russell.
Or just an angel.
Sure. They're out there.
Let me try to play my song. It's one of my favorites from the show. It's called Boomers, and let's see if this works.
Okay. Well, Russell, try to send me a copy of the show somehow electronically, and we'll try to play it on another show during this December. Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, good effort. I'm not my place to be proud of you, but I'm very proud that you have the wherewithal and the energy and the passion to put on it to write songs, to start a new career, and I will keep all the listeners posted. You take care. Happy holidays to you. I know you play pickleball now, and you've started tap dancing lessons. Don't do too much skiing out there. That's a dangerous sport. Russell Lubliner, thank you.
Rick Kogan, thank you.
Take care.